1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 39. Now, I've actually spoken on this passage before, and it was a while ago. Most of you probably were not here when I spoke on this passage, and hopefully, those of you who were here will notice that there are some new and different messages that I received when studying for this passage. But my original passage was from Joshua, and I wanted to talk today. What's been on my heart is the position of believers in Jesus Christ who are not living a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, and then, of course, those who are not saved and are not in Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks so much about, you know, there's a debate, can you lose your salvation? And I don't think there has been any definitive answer. Some people says, yes, you can. Some people say, no, you can't. Some people say, well, if you lose your salvation, you were never saved in the first place. So there's really, it's all up in the air. But what we do know for a fact is that Jesus talked about the parable of the seed sower. And there were, and in that parable, apparently there are people who believed for a while and then fell away. And in Hebrews, it talks about those who have tasted of salvation and fell away. Jesus talks about the when we get to heaven and people will say, but didn't we prophesy in your name and feed the hungry and give clothes to the poor? And Jesus will say, depart from me, I know you not. So we know, what we do know for sure is that there are people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, but did not hold on to that faith and were not accepted into heaven because they did not hold on to that faith. And that's what's been on my heart, and that's what I want to talk about. And this passage really speaks to that. It really speaks to that wavering. The title of my message is Get Off the Fence. Get off the fence. And God is calling us to either be with him or you're against him. There's no middle ground. And that's what we're going to look at with this passage today, where God is calling the people, either you are going to worship me or you're going to worship Baal. Now, we're looking at this story, and it's the story of Elijah, and he's coming to what the Bible describes as the most wicked king and queen that Israel had, Ahab and Jezebel. And they led the people of Israel further away from God than any other kings. They went so far as to kill all of God's prophets and really take care of and lavish all of Baal's prophets. And there was one prophet left, the prophet of prophets, Elijah, who continued to speak the word of God. And they wanted to hunt him down and kill him too because he continued to speak the word of God. And finally, God told Elijah, you know, okay, stop running, stop hiding, go and challenge the people. And I want us to be challenged by looking at this passage, by looking at this story. I want us to be challenged from those times where we feel like I'm just gonna do a little bit of this. I know it's not what God wants me to do. I know it's not it's against the commands of Jesus Christ, but I'm just gonna do it. Or are we just gonna go wholeheartedly after Jesus Christ and follow the commands of God? And this is just a wonderful, wonderful illustration of that calling. And so let's look at it. We start with verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? And see, he's a troubler because he was the only one that was willing to speak God's truth. And He was a trouble to Israel because Israel wanted to follow Baal and not follow God and live how they wanted to live and commit the sins they wanted to, and they wanted to hold on to their sin that they love. But Elijah was around telling them that they were sinning, that they were going against the one true God. And so he called him the troubler. Are you a troubler? Do people see you as a troubler in your job, in society? Like at your job, when they're standing around the water cooler. Why do they say that? People don't have water coolers at work anymore. But anyway, at your job, when you're standing around the water cooler and they're talking and telling jokes and you walk in the room, that they stop talking all of a sudden? Or when they're planning the big night out at the club or the bunco night or whatever, and then they come to you and say, oh, no, you don't want to go. That's okay. You're not going. Or do they invite you to the club? Do they continue and say, oh, yeah, I got this joke for you when you walk in the room? Are you seen as a troubler, or do you fit right in? See, Elijah, he was seen as a troubler. He didn't fit in. And so you should be looking to wear that badge of troubler. Be a troubler. Make a T-shirt that says, I'm a troubler. I love Jesus Christ. You better stop telling that joke when I walk in. I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, and he says, so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Not much commentary needed on this verse. There are those that are wavering and trying to be of the world while at the same time trying to be of God. They have too much of the world in them to enjoy the Lord and too much of the Lord in them to enjoy the world. They just don't know what to do. And they're wavering. I'll go to church Sunday. And I'll go to this thing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I have nothing to do with God. That if Jesus Christ was walking alongside you, you'd ask him to wait outside, please. You'd ask him to leave the room while you're watching this or listening to that. But then go off to the soup fellowship. Come to church that next morning. And you're wavering. We're wavering. And God doesn't allow for wavering. Elijah is trying to tell the people that. God's not going to, he's saying right now, today you're going to choose. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And you know, I looked up Baal, and Baal is like many gods. There's so many different definitions and descriptions and of who Baal was. It's just a lot of different things. And there's a lot of different things in our lives that take us away from God. There's a lot of different Baals that take us away from God. But God is calling you to choose now. Choose Baal or choose God. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left. But Baal has 450 prophets. Numbers don't matter. There's a Bonner Research does a lot of research and takes polls on Christians. And one of the polls he took was how many people actually are followers of Jesus Christ. That means basically they followed Christ's commands. If you looked at them and looked at the fruit of the Spirit, they would exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. They not only go to church on Sunday, they go to Bible study. They have a devotion time in the morning where they read their Bible and pray to God. They do service for God. They witness. Basically, they follow the commands that Jesus gave in his last days. And they're followers of Christ. And the research came out with there about 33% of people who call themselves Christians are true followers of Christ. And so, if you are a follower of Christ, if you have chosen God, you're going to be in a minority. You will always be in the minority, the great minority. The great majority of people aren't like you. They don't like what you do. They don't like what you represent, even the ones that are Christians or call themselves Christians. 80% of Americans call themselves Christians. Only 33% follow Jesus Christ. You're going to be in the minority. So understand that. Don't let that be something that keeps you from serving the one true living God. And your goal as a part of the minority should be to, one, stay in that minority, and two, make it grow. Spread the gospel. Bring others with you. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces. Put it on the wood, but not yet fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. There are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal, and from morning till noon, "O Baal, answer us." They shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. He said, "Surely he is God. Perhaps he's in a deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." Elijah had a little swagger about the God he served. Okay? He wasn't ashamed of the God he served. He wasn't ashamed for people to know that he served the God he served. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and taunt non-believers, because that's not a very good way to spread the gospel. It doesn't really endear people to want to listen to you. But don't be walking around with your head down and being ashamed that you follow Jesus Christ, that you are a believer. Have a swagger about yourself. Why? Because you know you serve the one true and living God. Amen. And that you speak the truth. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Carrie does a Way of the Master class where it basically teaches you how to share the gospel. And a lot of people don't share the gospel because they're not confident. "I don't know enough." Do you know what Jesus Christ has done in your life? Do you know the changes that have gone on in your heart? Do you know the answers to prayer that he has given you? That should give you all the confidence in the world to stand up to anybody. And I don't care what question they ask you. "Well, how did Noah get all those animals in the boat?" "I don't know, but as the blind man said, I know he healed me. I know I can see. I know my prayers get answered. I know I used to love this and it hurt me so bad, and I don't love it anymore, and I'm not hurt by it anymore." You know that. Have some swagger about your belief. Stand up tall. Stick out your chest. You know, if we go around being all mamby-pamby sad and everything, who wants to be part of that? You know, I love bragging about Shayla, because on Facebook I always put "fist pump for Jesus." And people want to know, "Well, what's that?" "Oh, well, this girl from our church, when she got baptized, everybody, when she came out, everybody stood up and went, woo, fist pump for Jesus." Okay? And that's how we should be. If you're going to yell for your football team, you better yell for Jesus. And Elijah, he's just up here, "Ha, yeah, I don't know what you guys think you're doing, but you ain't talking to my God." and it ain't going to work, so just keep doing it. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. When you look anywhere else for answers, meaning, purpose, and satisfaction in life other than the one true God, the living God, through Jesus Christ, you're calling on the name of Baal. If you're trying to solve your problems in any other way than going to God through Jesus Christ, you are calling on the name of Baal. And what it causes you to do is to dance harder. Well, maybe if I call him this time, they'll let me off the hook. Well, maybe if I go get 5 extra jobs and do this, and it'll be all right. maybe if I just cheat a little bit on this, it'll cover that, and I'll take care of it. You just start dancing. You're doing that dance, that life dance to get out of troubles. Those bulls are coming, you start dancing. You dance harder. Nothing happens. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Okay, that problem went away, but here comes another one. You just start dancing more. They shouted louder. I don't get along with this person in my family. I'm going to shout louder at them. Maybe that'll help. I don't like this person. I'm going to shout louder at them. Maybe that'll help. And you get deeper and deeper in, and to the point where the relationship is just gone. And you don't even talk. You can't even shout anymore. All you do is shout, so you don't even talk anymore. And then it said they started cutting themselves. I don't even got to make up an illustration for that. That's a thing that kids do. You know why they do it? Because nobody's paying attention. Wow. Tell me that God doesn't know us. Tell me that this word, that this is not the truth. Tell me that God did not inspire these words. And they began to cut themselves. That's a phenomena in teenage life today. Why were they doing that? Because Baal wasn't paying attention. I got to do something to make somebody listen to me. And see, in all these things that we do to make people listen to us that are not Jesus Christ, that are Baal, just cause us to go deeper and deeper into things that hurt us more. Let me define myself this way, and maybe people will pay attention to me. If I put 7 more holes in my head, maybe people will pay attention to me. If I cover myself such that you can't even tell what color I really am, maybe people will pay attention to me. Now, I got nothing against piercings or tattoos. My kids got them. I think every young person I know has one. But we all know that there are some people who do that to get attention. And it's just 1's not enough, 2's not enough, 3's not enough, 4's not enough. Why? Because no one started to pay attention to them yet. So maybe if I get 6, they'll pay attention. Maybe if I get 7, they'll pay attention. And Baal is just not paying attention. Now, when you cry out to God, he pays attention. He pays attention. If you are a non-believer, the only cry that God hears is your cry to know him. That's the only cry that he will hear from you if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. You hear people talk about, oh, well, people that have a professed disbelief of who Jesus Christ is, talk about, oh, we'll pray for this, and will you pray for me that, and, well, let's pray. You're in our prayers. God doesn't hear prayers from non-believers. But the prayer he will hear, he will pay attention, is when you call him. We're told in Isaiah and Hebrews how he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward you with his presence. And if you are a believer, he pays attention. Now, paying attention does not mean that he gives you the answer that you want. So don't sit there and be thinking, well, God didn't pay attention when I wanted that car. Yeah, he did. He said, you don't need that car. That car is going to bring you trouble. You can't have it. No. He pays attention. And he gives an answer. And he addresses your needs. Baal doesn't pay attention because he doesn't exist. Those things you're turning to don't exist in order to bring you satisfaction, purpose, and meaning. Only God. Only Jesus Christ exists to bring you satisfaction, purpose, and meaning. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar. He prepared the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. First thing he did was repair the altar. See, Ahab and Jezebel had all the altars set up for the one true living God torn down. Now, he didn't just go back and, you know, put that bull on the ground somewhere. He prepared an altar. And see, we have to prepare an altar if we want to surrender and tell God, you know what, I'm tired, I'm getting off the fence. I'm choosing you. You are the one true living God. We got to prepare our hearts to do that. We can't just say, you know what, you're right. I heard this sermon and, you know, I'm believing God now. And just keep on going, doing what you did. And your heart hasn't changed. Your heart has to change. Romans 12:1 says that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. So if you're here and you've torn down that altar where you can't lay on it, if you lay on it, it doesn't feel right, it doesn't fit, it may not stand, so you just got to kind of dangle your feet over the side. And so now you think you're okay, that you're, at least I'm sitting on the altar. And so I'm good. Or if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ and that altar's there and you just standing looking at it, it ain't for me. I ain't getting on that thing. I got too much to live for. I love my life the way it is. Sin is fun. I'm not getting on that thing. And so what God wants you to do, if you are a believer who is wavering, fix that altar so you can get up there and lay flat on that altar. And just lay out. And see, that's what he's calling you to do. A sacrifice can't get up and run away. A sacrifice, when a sacrifice sees that knife coming, those hard times coming, they can't get up and leave. Gonna stay there. And let God do what God is gonna do. And thanks be to God that we know what he's going to do is for our good, because that's what the Bible tells us. All things turn out for good for those who love the Lord. So you're on that altar. You're not some goat on that altar. Okay, you're like Isaac on that altar. God's going to take care of it. So prepare your heart. Prepare that altar. Get on that altar or fix it and get back and lay down on it. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Is your altar in ruins? Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering on the wood. Do it again. We're on 8 jars. And he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time. We're on 12 jars. He ordered that they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. Now, these verses where this water is being poured down over the sacrifice, that's the life of a believer. Any ministry that tells you that when you accept Jesus Christ, everything's going to be okay, you're never going to get sick, you're always going to have enough money, they are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. He tells us over and over again that this life is tough, that water is going to be poured on us to keep God from doing what he's going to do. And that water, losing your house, that water, relationships lost because of your love for Jesus Christ, that water, finances just aren't right, that water, lose a loved one. The life of a believer, we are constantly having water poured on us so that God cannot work in our lives. And that's what the people are thinking as he's pouring this water. Well, he said he's supposed to be starting a fire, and he's pouring all this water all over where he's supposed to be starting a fire. There's no fire going to start there. And see, as believers, that's what makes us walk away sometimes. We have all this water coming in, and you think to yourself, God can't do anything. God won't do anything. No, Baal won't. But the one true living God through Jesus Christ will. I guarantee you he will do something. Not maybe what you want him to do, not maybe what you expect, but what he does is much better than what you want. What he will do is much better than what you want to do. And you know, around the world, we have persecuted brothers and sisters, and I talk about them every time I talk, but they need to be talked about. They need to be prayed for. But we have persecuted brothers and sisters being jailed, beaten, and killed. They're getting oceans poured on them. And all they need to do to stop this water from being poured on them is deny Jesus Christ. And to death, they will not deny Jesus Christ. And they'll still take the water. You know why they still take the water? They know that the fire's coming. They have no doubt that the fire will start. Is that what you have in your heart? No matter what water comes, do you say, oh man, all this water, God's not going to do nothing, I'm done? Or do you know in your heart that that fire is going to start? That fire has never gone out. It is there. God is there for you. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. He went and acknowledged that God is the one true God. And the key part there is he said, I have done all these things at your command. Now, he didn't just sit back one day and say, you know what? I believe in God. I love God. And you know what? If I go and challenge them to sacrifice, and whosoever God comes, and I pull water all over mine, and then it lights, I'm going to show God. He didn't sit around and think that up. He said God commanded him to do that. And see, and the problem that we have as believers is we want to lean on our own understanding. If I do this, then God should do that. God is obligated. I hate that phrase. God is not obligated to do anything for us. Amen. He is not obligated to do anything. And so we come up with all these little rituals and ceremonies and things that we think are supposed to make God pay attention to us in our own thinking and our own mind. And because things don't work the way that we think they should work, because God's not doing the things that we think he should do, we walk away. Rather than just simply following his commands. It's not that hard to know what his commands are. They are a little difficult to walk in them. And he told us that. I mean, the picture of pick up your cross and follow me, that's not a picture of, oh, it's easy to follow Christ. Drink my blood and eat my flesh. That's not an easy picture. So he's not saying it's easy, but to know the commands, they're right there. They are right there. We don't have to guess and figure it out. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And last Sunday, I kind of summed it up. Love God. Love God's word. Love God's people. Love serving God. Love God's gospel. Now ask yourself, do I do that? Do I follow his commands? And if you're frustrated that God's not working in your life, if you're frustrated that the things you heard will happen if you become a Christian, and that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior aren't happening, it's your fault. Guarantee you 100% it is your fault because you are not following his commands. And I say that because I have experience, okay? I'm not judging you, all right? I'm talking from experience. Because when you follow his commands, even the things that you don't think you would have enjoyed or liked or were good for you, you just become so blessed by them. Are you following his commands? Elijah followed his commands. He didn't make it up as he went. And so that's how come he knew the fire was coming. He could have knocked down the altar, threw the pieces all over the place, but God told him to do it. He said, well, I guess God will just pick it up and put it all together. But he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Last week I talked about if Jesus said it's going to happen, you better believe it's going to happen. Everything that Jesus said was going to happen had happened. And the things that haven't happened yet, you have evidence that they are going to happen. So just hold on to that evidence. Stop looking at the Baals of the world and listening to what they're telling you is going to happen. And that's where all the people, the Israelite people, went wrong here. They listened to Jezebel and Ahab and said, follow Baal. God, you can't trust God. They have been trusting God for hundreds and hundreds of years, and he never once failed them. Never once failed them. Did he do things the way that they like it? Not all the time. But did he bring them salvation? And see, and that's all he promised us, salvation. He didn't promise you a painless life. He didn't promise you no sickness. He didn't promise you no financial problems. He didn't promise you no problems in your family. He promised you salvation. He promised you an eternity with him forever. That's his promise. O Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Anything you ask in my name, I will do. O Lord, answer me so these people will know. Are you praying for stuff to glorify you? Are we praying for stuff to make us happy? Are we praying for things to bring us satisfaction? Every single time you go to the Lord in prayer, it should be for his glory. Amen. Father God, save that baby so people will know that you are God. Father God, fix my car so that I can tell people that you fixed my car. Amen. Every time you go to God in prayer, it's for his glory. Not for your satisfaction, not for your needs, not for your purposes, but for his glory. And if you feel like God has not been there for you and he's not paying attention, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice of the wood and the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Not only did it burn up everything, it licked up the water in the trench, and that's the message that God has for you. If you will just have patience, if you will just endure, if you will hold on to me because I am God and know that I love you and know that I sent my son to die on the cross for you. If I did that for you, you don't think that I'm going to bring you out of a little temporary discomfort? And not only am I going to bring you out of this temporary discomfort, you will be amazed at what I do. You will not have expected for me to have done what I'm going to do. It's going to be way more than you could have imagined. If you just trust me, if you just follow my commands, if you just be one of my minority, I will pay attention to you. Baal will not. I will show up. Baal will not. Just hold on. You know, the Israelite people were at the edge of the Red Sea, and they could look back and they see the Egyptians coming. And they started to panic. But Moses knew something, God's going to do something, because Moses was following God's commands. God had told Moses what was going to happen, what he was going to do. And so he's telling, just hold on. Wait for God. He's going to show up. So I don't care how close the Egyptian chariots get to you, hold on. Hold on. God's going to be there. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." When you see God as a believer in Christ, if you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life and truly meant it in your heart, I know for a fact that I can say without a doubt, there are times where God showed himself to you in such a way that you felt like falling down on your face and saying, "The Lord God, I know he is God. There is one right there for me. Right there for me. Don't even come up to me and try to tell me that God doesn't exist. You're wasting your time. He has shown me so many times in my life where I can fall down and say, "Oh, Lord God, you are Lord God Almighty. You are Lord God Almighty." And he will show up for you. Now, today is Communion Sunday. And in our walk, we've all had those times where we just felt like walking away. We've all had those times where we're impatient and just didn't feel like holding on, and where we started dancing, started shouting, and started cutting. But he is faithful to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins. And today, that's what that day is for.